This is Dr. Jimmy Nichols, equine nutritionist. On this podcast, we will explore unique cases, debunk popular myths, and break down advanced research data. Join me for a little fun, a lot of science, and some real-world advice for feeding horses. Hey everyone, it's Dr. Jimmy. Thanks for joining us for this episode of The Feed Room Chemist. So today I am actually going to address a few questions that I found as I was scrolling through some forums of equine nutrition that are on Facebook. I'm a member of a few different nutrition groups, and occasionally I'll cruise through those posts and just kind of see what people are asking, what people are commenting. There's generally quite a lot of enlightening information in those. So I picked out just kind of a few different topics that I thought might be good to hit just in general and on a podcast. The first one is around choking. So someone had actually posted a video of a horse that was eating grain and then what appeared to be the beginnings of an episode of choke. And so I thought it would be helpful maybe to go through what choke is in horses and, you know, what to look for to help people identify whether or not a horse is or isn't choking. So the first thing that I want to make sure that everybody understands is choke in horses is not the same as choke in humans. Okay, so with humans, when a human chokes, the food is actually lodged in the esophagus or the windpipe, okay?
My mouth was running faster than my mind. In humans, choke is when food becomes trapped in the trachea, not the esophagus. Okay, the trachea is the windpipe.
Okay, so if a person is choking, you cannot breathe. The only way to solve that is to get that piece of food cleared out of the airway. So the Heimlich remover maneuver is typically what's used. Now, in horses, the esophagus and the windpipe are actually separate, separated by what is called the epiglottis. And when horses choke, the food is actually being lodged in the esophagus, not in the windpipe. Okay, so what happens is basically there's a that chunk of food just kind of gets stuck right there, and it can't go down and it can't come up. So horses don't have the ability to vomit or eructate, or, you know, they can't push food back up like, you know, say a dog or a cat or a human. You know, I mean, if we eat something bad and we need to get rid of it, we can vomit. Horses don't have that luxury. Okay, so if they swallow something and it doesn't go all the way down their throat, doesn't go all the way down the esophagus, it'll just get stuck there. And that is called choke in a horse. Typically, the outward signs that you will see as a horse owner, that horse may start to kind of flip their nose, acting uncomfortable. They may start to droop their head clear down, maybe gapping their mouth open, almost like they're trying to get something to fall out. Those are the kind of the immediate signs. And then what'll happen is fluids and saliva and things like that will start to come out of the horse's nostrils. Okay, so as that horse is hanging its head and those fluids are kind of accumulating, the fluids will actually come back out the nostrils, not out of the mouth. So if you see, an obvious fluid coming out of that horse's nostrils, he's been hanging his head, he's maybe been flipping his nose around, I mean, just acting uncomfortable, that's a pretty good sign that that horse is probably dealing with an episode of choke. So certainly you want to, you know, call your vet. Each vet's going to act a little different. I've personally seen them, you know, maybe prescribe some muscle relaxants, some things like that, that'll get that smooth muscle of the esophagus to kind of relax, and help work that, piece down. So, Once a horse chokes, they are generally going to be more predisposed to choking in the future. So it depends on how severe that episode was. But let's say it was fairly severe. Let's say it was a fairly large piece and maybe there was some abrasion or scraping that happened in the esophagus that creates some scar tissue. That scar tissue will have a little bit of buildup, and therefore that location is going to just be more likely to be a place where food can hang up. The other piece to consider is a lot of times horses will choke because they bolt their food. Okay, so what it means when you bolt your food or when a horse bolts their food is they try to eat too fast. Okay, so especially I see this a lot in herd fed situations where there's competition. Okay, so maybe you've got two or three or four horses all together in the same pen and everybody is fed at the same time. Well, those horses, just their natural tendency is to compete for food. And so they want to eat as much as they can, as fast as they can, so they can then go fight off the other horse and get his food too. So what that does is it actually causes those horses to not chew as many times as they should before they swallow. And if they don't chew their food well enough, then you have two things. Number one, you've got larger food particles going into the esophagus. And then secondly, you don't have good wetting or salivation that's happening in that horse's mouth. Okay, so horses produce saliva whenever there is something in their mouth that they are chewing on. So if they are just taking a couple quick chews and then trying to swallow, that food stuff is still really dry. And so it's a lot more likely to get hung up in the esophagus. So there are a few things that you can do if you have a horse that does tend to choke. One thing is, you know, put him in a situation where he doesn't feel like he has to compete for his food. So separate that horse off, feed him separately, let him take as much time as he's willing to take to eat that food. The next thing that you can do is feed his meal in a large pan. Okay, so the bigger area that food can be spread out, the better. So, you know, what you want to avoid is hanging a bucket on the fence, a real small bucket on the fence, and then filling that bucket, you know, a quarter of the way or halfway up, where that horse can go in with his mouth and just take a big, huge bite out of that food. Okay, you don't want that. You want that grain to be spread out as thin as possible across that bucket or across that pan. That way he has to use his lips to pick up the individual pieces of pellets or grain or whatever you're feeding. And so it's going into his mouth at a much slower rate, meaning he then has a better chance of chewing it more thoroughly before he swallows it. And then another thing you can do is place large stones or large smooth rocks in that feed pan. So when you think about the size, just find some stones that are about fist sized. Make sure they're smooth and not, you know, no sharp edges or anything like that. But, you know, place two or three of them in that large feed pan so that horse actually has to move those rocks around and eat around those rocks. Okay, so that'll slow down how fast he eats. Another thing you can do is make sure that the particle size of whatever you're feeding is the same. So sometimes I will see people feeding, you know, really large alfalfa pellets, you know, the ones that are like, you know, 3/4 of an inch maybe in size or 1/2 inch in size. And then they'll also feed, you know, say a sweet feed or a pelleted feed where the pellets are really small in size, like maybe 1/8 of an inch. Okay, so you've got two very different particle sizes in the same feed trough or feed area. Okay, well, if that horse is gonna take a bite and he's gonna get this variety mix of sizes in his mouth, I've seen horses have a hard time dealing with that. And those larger pieces actually don't get chewed as well as they would if he were only eating the large pieces. So if that's your setup, if you're feeding, you know, like large alfalfa pellets or large cubes, and then you're also feeding, you know, say a sweet feed or a pelleted feed, try to separate those into two different feeding areas so that when he's eating just the same particle size. And then, of course, you know, an easy, easy go-to is to wet your feed. So, you know, if you're going to feed a sweet feed or a pelleted feed to a horse who is prone to choke, who has had a history of choking, one of the easiest and simplest things that you can do is just wet that feed down a touch before you offer it. That'll just, it'll help that horse as far as the moisture content of that feed goes. And then, of course, put into practice those other methods, you know, the large feed pan, the smooth rocks, you know, making sure he's not competing. And the combination of all of that is typically going to be a really good mix for a horse that's prone to choke. So, you know, sometimes I hear people say, you know, my horse chokes on, you know, X brand of feed. I kind of cringe every time I hear someone say that, because it's not X brand of feed that causes a horse to choke. Okay. It's that horse's behavior. It's, another thing I didn't mention was his teeth. Okay. So if his teeth have not been, floated or looked at by, an equine dental professional, you know, whether that's your veterinarian or a licensed or accredited equine dentist, if a professional has not been looking at your horse's teeth, there's a good chance that you've got things going on within his mouth that could be causing an abnormality in the way that he chews his food. So he could have loose teeth, he could have missing teeth, he could have sharp hooks or points or ramps. His molars could be in a wave structure or stair step structure. There's a lot of different things that can cause a horse to not chew their grain properly. And so that should actually probably be one of your first steps. If you do have a horse that has choked or is prone to choking, is make sure that you get his teeth, evaluated at least on an annual basis. And then especially as horses age, okay, their teeth, begin to completely wear out. So their teeth grow continuously throughout their life. And when they get to a certain age, they basically run out of tooth to grow. They can't grow anymore. And so those teeth just become completely smooth and flat. And essentially they are useless. So in that situation, you would certainly want to lean more on, you know, they won't be able to use forage. So you're going to have those horses on a complete diet, you know, a complete feed, meaning like a senior type of feed that provides all of the fiber necessary that they would typically get out of forage, along with all of the vitamins, minerals, protein, fat, et cetera. And you're going to have to feed that feed at the same rate that you would as if he were able to eat forage all day. So, you know, let's take a 1,000-pound horse. If, you know, he needs to consume, say, 1.5% of his body weight on a daily basis. Okay, so that means he has to consume 15 pounds of food every single day, okay, to keep him healthy, to keep his digestive tract functioning. Well, if he can't eat grass or hay or any kind of forage, then that means that you need to feed him 15 pounds per day of either alfalfa pellets or Timothy pellets, some kind of processed forage, or put him on a senior feed or a complete feed diet that's going to provide that total fiber content along with his nutrition. So in that situation, you know, if you've got a horse whose teeth are completely worn out, they're in their senior years, they're on a complete feed, wetting that feed down is a really helpful way to help those horses break down that that grain or that pellet component and help prevent them from choking. So I hope that those are some helpful tips. Let's go over just one other topic that I found. There was someone that had made a post that their horse just didn't seem to have that shine. So we're in the spring of the year. Horses right now are shedding their hair. Most horses have, you know, completely shed their winter coat. Most are looking fat, slick, shiny, okay? Especially if they're getting any access, you know, to green grass and good quality food programs. So this particular horse, the person was saying he's not shining. She also said that his coat just seems to be, you know, it's dull, and there seems to be some long hairs that are just really hanging on. She also noted that, you know, his mane and his tail just are really dull. She noted that his tail actually seems to be thinning a little bit. And there just is a general rough look about this horse. And so, you know, you read through some of the comments, and of course there are just all kinds of recommendations on what this person should do. So I thought it might be good just to kind of start from the basics and walk you guys through, you know, what to look for and kind of how to evaluate what might be going on with this horse. So the first thing that I would do is, number one, have teeth evaluated. So like I mentioned just a little bit earlier, the structure of those teeth and how they function is just absolutely critical for how they are going to be able to utilize the food that they're taking in. Okay. The particular person had actually made a comment that I believe the horse was on green grass and has access to that 24/7. So to me, that's a really big red flag. If that horse has access to lush green grass in the spring of the year and still is not shiny and slicked out and holding good condition, that's a sign that that horse is probably not able to eat that grass because of pain in his mouth, or you know, maybe he's missing teeth, maybe he's quitting his food. Okay, so quitting is where, you know, they eat the grass and or hay, they try to chew it around but they can't seem to get a good grind on it, and so they end up just balling it up and spitting it back out. Okay, so it'll appear like that horse is out there grazing all day long, but if you were to walk behind him, you would see that everything he puts in his mouth ends up coming right back out. Okay, so he's not actually getting the nutrition that you think he is. So first of all, get his teeth checked out. The other thing is work with your veterinarian, have a fecal egg count done. Okay, so, you know, evaluate what his worm load is. Okay, and then your vet can help you identify the best deworming protocol for that horse. Then the next thing that you want to look at is the actual nutrition program itself. So is that horse just on grass? If he's not able to eat it, then he needs to be getting nutrition from somewhere else. Typically, when it comes to coat quality and hair quality, a few of the things that you can lean on are fat. Okay, so adding fat or calories to the diet is a really good way to help shine a horse up. You can put an oil supplement on, like Shine from Stride Animal Health or Fish Oil Factor. Either of those two products are really good at bringing in an extra punch of calories. So Shine is 99% fat and Fish Oil Factor is 30% fat. Both of those will help bring some oils and condition into the coat. Most people are aware of that, you know, that feeding oils or fat will help shine a horse up. But I think what a lot of people miss is they don't think about trace minerals. So copper, zinc, and manganese are three really important trace minerals that work together and can have a really big impact on the vibrancy, the quality, and the dimension of the hair coat. You know, I see horses that are on a program that's deficient in some of those minerals, or maybe the minerals are out of balance, they're not in the right ratios, and they just look okay. When you put those horses then onto a program where you have got complex forms of those specific minerals in the right ratios, I mean, it's like those horses almost completely change color. You'll see their coat just become deeper, just have more dimension to it. They'll start to get dapples. There's a lot of impact that those three trace minerals can have in the diet. And, you know, I want to point out too, it's not just those minerals, period. It's those minerals in a form that can be easily absorbed by the horse. And so if you want to find the forms that are most well absorbed by the horse, you want to look for those minerals being bound to specific amino acids. Okay, so specifically lysine and methionine. So you would find that on the tag as like zinc methionine complex, copper lysine complex. Okay, so that's how you would find those, like, on the ingredient listing of a feed tag. In my opinion, those are, you know, they're, they are very well researched. There's a lot of science to back those particular complex forms of organic minerals. They're very easy for the horse to absorb and utilize because that horse has a requirement for lysine and methionine. So the body's pulling in those two amino acids, and when you have the mineral attached to it, that mineral makes it into the body, kind of like, it's kind of like a free pass into the body. So it's really effective. Okay, enough on those trace minerals. The other element that you want to consider if your horse is just hanging onto his hair coat and it seems really dull is his exercise program or his blood flow. Okay, so a horse that's exercised every day and where you get that their blood circulation flowing, you know, get their heart rate up a little bit, get that blood pumping. Okay, that's going to help push nutrition to the hair follicles. And so if you've got a horse that just stands around all day and doesn't move and doesn't have a lot of blood flow or increase in circulation, their hair coat is going to be a little bit slower to shed. It might be a little bit duller. It's just not going to look as good as a horse that's getting exercised every day and whose heart rate is being elevated every day. And then I guess the last piece that a person would want to consider, I mean, let's say you've gone through all of these things so far and, you know, you still haven't really found that magic bullet or what's wrong with this horse. You may want to get with your vet and consider that the horse, you know, could potentially be dealing with Cushing's. Older horses in particular are going to be predisposed to Cushing's. And so your vet will actually test for two different hormones. So they'll test for ACTH and cortisol. When they do that test, a lot of times they will have a protocol where maybe they come to you in order to pull that blood. And the reason for that is because cortisol is a stress hormone. And so basically anytime you load a horse into a trailer and haul them somewhere, or anytime you show up at the vet and unload them and they realize where they're at, that it's unfamiliar, they're going to have a spike in cortisol. Okay. Because they're going to feel stressed. And so we don't want that because that can actually give a false reading or a false interpretation of that horse's status. So a lot of times veterinarians will have their protocol be to come to you to pull that blood in that horse's natural setting in the most stress-free situation possible. But, horses that are getting older, who are holding on to that hair coat, those are two kind of classic things that'll go along with a horse that maybe has early onset of Cushing's or is starting to get Cushing's. I actually talked about Cushing's a little more in depth in a previous episode, so I'll be sure to reference which episode that was in the show notes so that you guys can go and listen to that if you want a little bit more information about Cushing's. So I want to thank everyone for listening. If you do have questions, please feel free to submit them. You can email them to info@acbluebonnet.com. You can go to bluebonnetfeeds.com or strideanimalhealth.com, either of those websites. Hit the contact us button. You can submit your questions that way. And then the other piece too, don't forget, both Bluebonnet Feeds and Stride Animal Health offer free online or virtual nutrition consults. So if you want anybody to just go over your horse's program, make sure you're covering the basics, or if you have special problems that you're dealing with and you want the advice of a professional equine nutritionist, so we've got two equine PhDs that are on staff with Bluebonnet Feeds and Stride Animal Health. We have a team of outstanding nutrition consultants that cover a large area of the United States, and we are all more than happy to help you guys in any way possible. All right, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Feed Room Chemist. If you like what you hear, be sure to share with your friends, post to social media, or give us a review. And as Winston Churchill used to say, no hour of life is wasted that is spent in the saddle. So go saddle up.